Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, Hao. Thank you for tuning in every single week. Today, we've got a special guest. He's coming in from Singapore. As you guys may have noticed, by the way, since the borders have opened, we have a lot of guests from overseas coming in. And that tells you a lot about where Vietnam is going. A lot of interest from overseas. People see it as a growing market. And we're going to look at some of those insights and sharings today about why big companies that are making big impact are looking and taking Vietnam more seriously than ever. Today's guest, Jibu Matthew, he's the GM and VP of Zoho Asia Pacific. Zoho, it's been around the business for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
You guys probably have seen it before. They are beginning to be more present in Vietnam, and Jibu is here today to kind of share more about that. Welcome to Vietnam, first off.
Thank you, and good morning, Hao.
Yes.
It's a pleasure to be part of this event today.
Jibu, tell us more about Zoho first, and then a bit about yourself. What is Zoho for those of our guests that may not be too familiar with the product?
Well, Zoho is a tech company.
Okay.
Tech company, I would say with a difference. We have been we've established in 1996, so we've been in the industry since like almost 20, we've been in there for like 26 years.
You're older than Google? Around the same, yeah.
Yeah, around that, yeah. So, you know, it's a very interesting company, I would say. Mm. It's a private company. That's what makes it very interesting, especially in the tech space.
Mm.
Private, profitable company, as we would like to also mention.
Mm.
And a tech company that's been able to ride different waves or digital trends in the yep. industry and being relevant as a company.
Mm.
So, and on the way, we've built over 50 plus software as a service business applications
okay.
that can help organizations to transform themselves,
mm.
be it a small solopreneur or an SME or even a very large organizations.
Okay. From what I understand, Jibu, you started as a software engineer.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes,
you're now leading the business in Asia Pacific. That's quite the transformation. So I want to talk about that and how long Zoho has been in business. 20 plus years. You've been with the business 20 plus years. And you mentioned the company's private, never taken in venture capital funding. There must be something special about the value system of Zoho and how you guys approach building the business and your customers. Maybe you can share a little bit about that. Like, why have you been there for so long, first off? And what does that say about the company's values?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So especially when you talk about values, if you look at Zoho as a company, you know, I would say we always have a very long-term focus based on strong values.
Okay.
And even as an organization, we have been innovating, but it's not without compromising on our core values.
Mm.
So when we look at Zoho as a company, it's not the company that, you know, we don't really spend too much on marketing,
mm-hmm.
right? However, we have a different approach on how we build our products and solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we put a lot of emphasis on how customers use our products, the user experience of our tools and solutions, how customers can evaluate our products. So if you look at in the past, right, maybe I would say maybe 15 to 20 years ago, products were not easy to try and then buy.
Mm.
It's not like what you see, what seems to be obvious today.
Right.
But we would be probably some of the early vendors who would actually be doing that.
Mm.
So we let our customers use our products, use the free editions of our products. We even have products that are like free. I mean, customers are using it for free for like 10 years.
Mm.
So from a value perspective, we are very strong on how we go to market.
Mm.
So one is we make sure that customers love the products they use and then they buy it. But more importantly, it's fundamentally based on even strong values in
mm-hmm.
terms of security and data privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's again another very core aspect of Zoho.
Mm-hmm.
Privacy is actually something that is very dear to organizations today. But as a, you know, when you know, if you're familiar with GDPR, which came out
mm-hmm.
in Europe as a standard, as a company, we decided to be GDPR compliant in spirit, even in Vietnam and everywhere globally,
mm.
whenever that came out.
even if it's not required.
Even if it was not required.
It's just a company standard that you apply.
Absolutely. Okay. So that tells you that, you know, that's our philosophy, right? The first legal agreements we actually wrote, even there in spirit, if you look at what we have written, it was more about we will never show ads in our business. Mm. So which means we are never going to sell your data. Your data belongs to you as an organization who is our customer. Mm. So those are core things that has been guiding and how we grow the organization. So that sets a benchmark which we have to ensure so that our customers still get value and we are able to survive as a business, right, across industry trends. And that has actually helped us because word of mouth gets us new customers or new users, right? So that's one very important aspect because we strongly believe users need to work with the products and then find value and then pay for it. So that is actually another important way how we do our things. Mm. So we had a very strong product strategy as our go-to-market, I would say, with so many products and tools and services, we are actually being able to go to a global market. Mm. You talked about 20 years, right? So, or in the last 17 years plus, there have been Zoho services. So when you look at Zoho as a company, even as we grew from, say, zero to close to 12,000 today, you know, we were also a startup, right? So that's how we grew as a startup. And probably we would be one of the earliest software tech companies that transformed ourselves to do business and have customers in 180 countries globally.
Yeah, definitely.
And what we have done, we have used various products to get us to that journey, through that journey to where we are. And that is essential thing that we are also making available to other businesses. That's another huge thing that we do.
Yeah, well, you know, Zoho on face value, if people just didn't know the brand very well, you would think, oh, it's coming from Silicon Valley, it's a tech company, but it's actually born in India.
Yes,
is that right?
Absolutely.
And a very Asia-centric kind of business. Of course, it's global now and you have teams everywhere, but a lot of the hearts and products came from a place that was unexpected, at least in 1996. You know, I want to revisit that point and talk about your career and journey within Zoho. You started as a software engineer 20 or so years ago. What has kept you at the business for so long? 12,000 employees now. How many were there when you started? Do you remember?
I think maybe around, I don't know, actually, maybe around 50 to 100.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And what were some milestones, if you had to reflect, just if you could pick a couple that were like, wow, we survived through that. We got through that.
Yeah. So, you know, one interesting thing is in looking at the number of products and the kind of things we do and how we do things, right? So how we like to grow organically, how we like to grow our talent organically. I would say another big value also I would like to add here is, you know, how it's a great learning environment. Mm. Okay. It's a journey that you don't stop learning. Okay. That's actually a huge value add as an individual in the company, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And when you ask about interesting things that I've done or interesting things on the way, I would say, yeah, it has been great in terms of how we are able to take products from scratch and go to market, build it into a business of probably 10,000 plus customers globally, right? So that's some of things which I was able to do as part of multiple product teams in Zoho.
I want to learn more about your guys' interest in the Vietnamese market. So you've been here, you know, a number of times and you're covering all of APAC though. So you get quite the regional view on things. How would you describe the market? Why does Zoho look at Vietnam in a certain way?
Yeah, this region, APAC as a region itself is very interesting region. It's having solid growth opportunities. And of course, we went through a pandemic or an endemic, or I would say now more of like an uncertainty. Mm. But that is a opportunity and a challenge for local businesses. Mm. I feel less like how you alluded to the point that, you know, there's a lot of interest from external investors into Vietnam. Mm. Vietnam is a hugely upcoming market. I would say it's an opportunity which is beneficial because it's becoming an interesting market for other organizations, other economies also to be a supporting economy and within Vietnam. So there are multiple aspects that is making Vietnam a very attractive market. And what we are seeing is how organizations within Vietnam are slowly trying to raise the bar and trying to go more regional, maybe even global. So as time passes, so that's, I think that's a very important approach, how even startups and other organizations in Vietnam can actually go.
It's Vietnam is projected to grow something like 8% next year. Pretty exciting, despite global, you know, winds, I guess. Yes. You could say, or uncertainty, as you mentioned. Zoho has gone through its share of recessions and survived and thrived.
Yes.
In fact,
yeah.
I just love your really quick take on having survived through so many and thrived through it. What's your quick advice for Vietnamese companies that are going through this uncertainty as well? Should they be investing? What should they be thinking about? How do they approach productivity and efficiency? From someone with, you know, through that experience, a lot of companies have not gone through a recession. So maybe just a quick takeaway that you could share.
The important thing to focus on is profitability.
Mm.
So find out how you can be profitable so that you are not depending on external factors.
Mm.
So maybe you don't have to be in a very fancy space to survive. You could be in very niche areas which are not so fashionable for young business owners today.
Mm.
So that's one way to build enough cash flow to sustain your business and then innovate. Right, so build a business that is getting you sufficient cash flow, even though it's a very niche area, and then go from there. So especially during times like this, when you have a slowdown, it is a good thing if you can actually invest.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, we do invest when it is, these times are actually sometimes when we do not reduce our investments. Mm. We do invest a lot more during these
situations. And you're able to do that because you are profitable. And,
absolutely.
The way that you approach working with clients is long-term sustainable growth.
Absolutely. Okay. So that's great. Very essential because you are able to make long-term decisions.
Mm.
And typically, long-term decisions are going to be more fruitful for you as an organization or as a business owner.
Okay, that's a great takeaway. We've been applying that, I think. But
nice.
I think just to get the validation from you is we need to be more aggressive on that. I'd love to move over to the Zoho product a bit. We've talked at high level what you guys do. It's a productivity software suite, essentially, but you have up to 50 different products, features within that. Let's talk about specifics. There's a couple of them. The Zoho Creator platform specifically is of particular interest to me. How does it complement the wide system of all the applications? Why don't we start there?
Yeah. So even as I go into that part, Zoho has a suite of products. We do software for marketing teams, sales teams, HR, finance teams, support teams.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we do a broad suite of products focused at different functions in an organization. Okay, to give you a bit of perspective, we as a company ourselves, we run on Zoho, almost exclusively on Zoho.
Mm.
Right from our email to our instant messaging to our online meeting software to managing customer journey through hiring employees through recruitment to all aspects of it. For small businesses, the off-the-shelf products are actually good enough, right? So what we have started doing is this has been done for quite some time. Well, what we have started doing is we have started making it more useful for mid and larger organizations. So for that, we need to support a lot more customizations.
Mm.
So that's where the trend of, low-code platforms came in. As an organization, we were able to see that quite early. That's when we started off with Zoho Creator.
Mm.
So if you look at Zoho Creator, it plays in a segment called low-code, no-code platforms.
Low-code, no-code.
Yes.
Okay.
LCNC, that's an abbreviation, there's another way of putting it. But
low-code,
no-code, the objective there is to be able to build applications, whether it is mobile or web applications, by just without writing much code. Without being a professional programmer, you could create professional-looking mobile applications or web applications that serve a specific business need.
Mm.
So when I say, like, for example, a contact manager application or a partner relationship management application, you could build small applications for your business without being a professional coder. Well, if you look at the overall industry trend, why that is important, there is a huge gap, a digital gap, and also a, probably a lack of enough talent to bridge that gap in a short period of time.
Right.
And if you see specifically last 2-3 years, the need for digital transformation has accelerated, and all of a sudden everybody needs some kind of an application.
I'd love to talk about that a little bit, because a lot of companies that don't have digital proficiency, they're big businesses, they know they need to digitally transform, but their first reaction is like, well, we don't have an engineering team. I don't know what a digital or tech team even starts with.
Yes.
We had a big conference a few weeks ago, and at the summit, we had a lot of executives in FMCG and manufacturing, and they mentioned that they're building these huge digital teams now in order to facilitate that. But do they really need that? Maybe they could partner with solutions like low code or no code. I mean, they probably need some teams just to like facilitate internal workings. But actually, the new revolution, let's say, of low code, no code is what will be the bridge for the gap.
Absolutely.
The gap doesn't necessarily need to be filled by actual digital teams, but by these solutions.
Right. I would say these solutions may not fill the whole gap. Mm. There is definitely areas that these solutions may not fit in.
Mm.
However, when you look at the need short term to do a lot of activities and to automate core business processes, low-code solutions can fill a lot of gap there.
Mm.
So especially in terms of where you have users interacting, when there is not much of integrations with core operating systems, right? Those aspects, you can use low-code platforms to get your business processes automated.
Is there an opportunity to open source this with developers that may not be working at Zoho, but they want to get involved in the Zoho Creator platform? How do you guys approach that?
Yeah, that's a very interesting direction you asked that question. So I would say Zoho Creator is an application that has quite a lot of freelance developers who support our customers to build applications also. So for basic stuff, when you look at no code, low code platforms, well, you can do a lot of things without writing any code. Like, for example, you can add a few of HTML elements or fields like drop down boxes or selection boxes. You can add a lot of things, email, collect information. You can do a lot of things, build an app, export it without writing any code.
Mm-hmm.
But you like to add more complex logic to it, you need to write some code. That's why it's called low code.
Mm.
So there, some level of knowledge is needed, but not like professional code. That's
right,
the difference.
Right.
Well, so there is an opportunity wherein freelancers can contribute and be a supporting, play a supporting role in that ecosystem.
Is that opportunity present in Vietnam too for freelancers to be familiar with the ecosystem and serve potentially global clients, not just in Vietnam as well?
Absolutely. So as a matter of fact, this is a good question.
Mm.
We have also seen college students actually making money and funding their education where some places they are and building applications for our customers.
Mm.
So, well, can the community contribute to the platform? Absolutely.
Okay.
And from an individual or even small businesses who build on our platform, from their perspective, well, Zoho can be seen as an ecosystem that even drives new business for you, because there is a need globally, and given the fact that how we are, it's a global, digitally connected ecosystem, that drives requirements through various channels, even outside the Zoho ecosystem, to Zoho to be contributors to, building applications, and that actually provides, a lot of job opportunities for local individuals and even small local businesses.
Okay, fantastic. You guys have a number of different products, as we mentioned, 50, in fact, plus. One of them is reaching a new milestone, Zoho One. It's one of your core products. In fact, it supports 50,000 organizations across 160 countries, first of its kind. What is Zoho One? Maybe for the listeners that aren't familiar with that, to get more breadth on the ecosystem.
Yeah, so I said Zoho has a suite of applications covering various functions.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did in 2018 is we launched Zoho One.
Mm.
All applications that are part of the Zoho ecosystem, we made it available as one application called Zoho One.
Mm.
One licensing, one single sign-on. Of course, all Zoho products are with a single sign-on mm-hmm. that is already there. But the beauty about this Zoho One application is you pay per employee
mm.
and they can use any of the Zoho applications. It's all included.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, you know, interesting
they could become a mini Zoho. You guys use all your products, right? So
yeah, they could be using all the products. Yes, yes, right, right. Yeah. So, and interesting thing is, you know, when we launched it, we only had like 35 applications.
Okay.
Today we have 45 plus already integrated into the Zoho One platform.
Mm.
And they continue paying the same licensing fee what they paid before.
Mm.
So that means any new apps that come into the Zoho One suite, mm-hmm. you can actually use it for free.
Mm.
So how it's like, you know, look at it like your buffet system, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a buffet system for software. So yep. we make the enterprise editions of all the applications mm. available in Zoho One
mm-hmm.
for a simple flat price.
Okay. So every month or however, there's always something new coming out.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like how you guys approach that because instead of just in American English, they would call nickeling and diming. It's kind of like, oh, every time something news comes out, it's a reason for a salesperson to be like, oh, hey, buy this too. But it's
Absolutely.
Actually just adding value to the ecosystem, getting customers to see the long-term value of engaging with Zoho.
Absolutely. Yeah. And how we see it as, well, maybe a year or two years back, we used to see customers had reached using approximately 18
mm.
Applications mm. on an average per organization.
Right, right.
That has gone up to like 20, 21 today.
Okay.
So that's again mm. another interesting thing because that shows that there is even more value
mm.
that businesses are gaining. So that's a very important benchmark for us, right? Because
yeah.
it's not just about throwing a buffet out there,
mm.
but it's also about how many are being used by an organization.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important thing for us.
You guys as a product company yourselves, you must be introducing new features all the time and perhaps even pulling back a few too.
Yes.
And you've learned through the usage internally, but also externally, what's working, what's not. I'm sure there's a few more on the way in the near future. And what have you learned from the usage from your clients about what could they expect next, you think?
We have a lot of apps that we are always using ourselves, right?
Mm.
So as Zoho, we have like 12,000 employees. So mm-hmm. that means we are a good user base. So
mm-hmm.
we have a kind of internal policy that you actually use the Zoho app first before you even think of going to something else externally.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, most of the products are kind of battle tested for at least maybe a couple of years before
mm-hmm.
it comes out.
Okay.
So so that actually gives us a good visibility on how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it is used by our global employee base, including those in Vietnam, for
mm-hmm.
example. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives us a lot of perspectives on how it is going to be used and how it's perceived
mm-hmm.
in the market.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at from newer products, well, we already have the core, I would say the nuts and bolts to build or to help a business to digitalize.
Mm-hmm.
So today what you're seeing is over the last 15 years, we have built a lot of core applications that are now almost like nuts and bolts for the future apps.
Okay.
So what that means is when we launch the next new application, which we did recently, like for the legal space. So we launched Zoho Contracts,
mm.
right? For the legal space, which is a new thing.
Mm.
But that application probably used two or three or four of our existing apps
mm-hmm.
to come out with something specific for an industry.
Mm.
So we will do such new initiatives. And of course, it's not going to be actually a 1.0, though it may be launched as for the first time,
mm-hmm.
but it is actually being built based on products that are like decade or decades old,
mm.
right? So that's the kind of things we are able to do.
Okay.
So you can see more of such solutions
mm-hmm.
specific to industries.
Yes.
That's how I would look at it.
Oh, very good. Okay. Well, let's talk about any potential new initiatives in the pipeline for Vietnam. I don't mean just products. I don't mean, you know, product building and innovation, but perhaps in terms of your market entry, which leads me to my first question about that, which is Zoho 12,000 employees. How many of them are in Vietnam? Do you plan to hire in this market as well?
Yeah, so we do plan to have. We already have a few employees here. Mm. So we do our user conferences. Mm. So that's, again, another important area for us. Mm. So we engage with the local market. We get first-hand information about how the products are consumed here, mm-hmm. how we can serve the local businesses. And we are investing in the region. As a matter of fact, that's one reason why we are also traveling a bit now. So mm-hmm. just to get more interaction with partners, interaction with employees itself over here. Mm-hmm. So we see good growth opportunities, and surely next year is going to be a very important year for us because we are ramping up our presence in the region.
Okay, excellent. You've had 22 years of experience at Zoho. You've learned a lot along the way, but you haven't learned everything. And, you know, today's podcast, we've done 100 or more than 100 shows at this point. And I always like to ask at the end, what would you like to learn about this market? Especially, you know, you're traveling here a lot. You have a team here. You have eyes and ears on the ground, but it's not like you hear everything. If we had another guest on the show based on your recommendation or feedback, who would that guest be? It doesn't have to be a specific person, but it could be an industry. It could be a company. I would love to hear your thoughts about what you're curious about in Vietnam.
Well, I would look forward to hearing content around what are fundamental changes happening in the country economy and meta factors that are supporting businesses to grow here.
Okay.
That would give us good insight on what industries would grow mm-hmm. and, you know, what kind of timelines they would reach specific maturity itself in.
Okay.
So those are some interesting things that I would like to hear.
Okay. Well, fantastic. I'm sure we'll have a lot of guests in the pipeline to help stir up that intellectual curiosity. And to answer your question, though, on that point, while we're sitting here, I can share my kind of feedback. Trends, at least going to next year, I would say there's three that really come to mind for me, at least. One is anything financial services related, specifically fintech, digital banks, neobanks. In Vietnam, the number of licenses issued for banking licenses are limited, and they're regulated as they should be. Getting them is not particularly easy, if impossible, actually, now. So a lot of banks are doing as they try to attract Gen Z consumers is to actually launch digital bank arms of their business. So you have the traditional banks, they have millions of retail customers, but digital now, no one wants to go to the brick and mortars anymore. They want to do everything online. That's a huge trend, in addition to e-wallets. Another is ESG. I think that's quite the global trend overall, but ESG, at least in Vietnam, Vietnam set a goal at COP26 last year in Scotland. COP27 in Egypt just happened, but they renewed their pledge in regards to net zero. So a lot of international companies are following that. Vietnamese companies are as well. But of course, a lot of companies still see it as a cost rather than as an investment. But that discussion is definitely heating up really fast because of that public pledge made by the government. And third, which is definitely down your guys' space directly, digital transformation. A lot of companies are still on-prem. For example, when we're talking about cloud, they're not really digitizing that way. A lot of things are still done manually, but hopefully Zoho can help solve with that. So so those are at least my sharings I can share with you. Jibu, any other last notes that you'd like to perhaps share with our audience today about Zoho or what you guys hope to achieve in Vietnam?
I think Zoho is a platform that is quite powerful for businesses to transform themselves, mm-hmm. supporting employees of different functions in an organization. Mm. Choosing, typically customers don't start off using the whole suite. Mm-hmm. They can start off in a specific space, use it for a specific, solve small problems first before looking at bigger problems. Mm. Right. So that's how I would like to recommend to our listeners when you're trying out new solutions.
What's the number one solution that gets their foot into the door? Is it the CRM? Is it the email? Is it what solutions are like the top for people to get in?
I think our email and the CRM are the top ones. Okay. And who gets, starts off with. Mm-hmm. But today I would say customer experience is really critical, like a big trend, if you ask me.
Okay.
Right? Businesses are trying to get that customer experience done right. Mm. And picking up the right solution for that is essential for your long-term growth.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Jibu Matthew, GM, VP of Zoho Asia Pacific. I got that right. Pleasure to have you at the studio and having your sharings about what Zoho is doing and how to build a long-term business, a profitable one, a sustainable one. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Hao.
And thank you for all of our listeners and watchers today tuning in for another episode of Vietnam Innovators. Thank you for all your support, and we really hope you enjoyed today's show. If you have any questions or feedback, you can just drop it in the comments and we'll get back to you. Thanks so much. You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, so don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.